I trust you've had a good day, whether or not you are a mother. One nice thing about it, that's one thing we all have in common. We all have had mothers, haven't we? Some of us, we still have them. Some of us, we have lost them. Jerry got a, she read something from her youngest sister. My time flies. How many years since your mom went home? 28 years already since she lost her mom. I just lost mine a couple of years ago. And some of you have also been without your moms for a very long time. But what a blessing. What a blessing. Memories. And doesn't matter who they were. Some moms are good cooks. Some moms are good organizers. You know, I don't care what it is, but I think everybody can say that you had the best mom ever. Right? I sure thought that. And so, happy Mother's Day, however you spent it, as a mom or just reflecting on having had a mom. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, okay? We are grateful, Father, for this time this evening. Thank you for these that came out. I know it's a holiday. And many times family members make plans to get together, but I am thankful for these who made the choice to join us. And I trust as we once again turn to your word, you would bless us in a special way with the truth of such an old familiar psalm. We commit this to you with thankful hearts, Lord, expecting you to answer as you see fit. In your name I pray, amen. Well, like Andrew said, let's do what we've been doing, and that's he had you sing a song. Why don't we once again, excuse me. Why don't we just say the 23rd Psalm together? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we're, oh, you want a title, right, Andrew?
Yes, sir.
I could hear you telling your sister, he didn't give me a title. Let's call it Without a Doubt. It's obvious that we are getting very close to the end of the psalm. And as we get close to the end, we're impressed with the words of confidence, assurance, as well as expectation voiced by the psalmist. Confidence. Assurance, expectation. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The list that we have looked at in this psalm has included quite a variety of experiences the psalmist has written about. He started out with, again, great words of assurance, words of making the claim, the Lord is my shepherd. And because of that, I will not lack or really need anything. And how that he's reflected on God's provision for him, making me lie down in green pastures, leading me beside still waters. And as we pointed out, sheep are fearful of swift running water. And one of the tasks of a shepherd, if there is no calm water, the shepherd has to work to make some quiet water, moving rocks, moving logs to interrupt the flow so that there can be a quiet pool that would form. And then the shepherd can provide, and the sheep will be willing to go and get the water that they are so thirsty for, but fearful because of the swift moving. Then the psalmist referred to some, if we could call them dangerous, unpleasant experiences that sometimes, in order for the shepherd to provide for his sheep, he would take the sheep through. He leads me through what? A valley of the shadow of death. And yet, he says, I am not fearful because you go before and your rod and your staff there. I know you've got them in your hand and you will use them to protect me if I need it. So as we come to today, we see him at this sixth verse giving the words of confidence. Nothing has shaken his confidence in the shepherd's provision for the sheep. Haddon Robinson, in his little book, has this to say. In this final sentence, the psalmist moves from his past experiences to his present and future life with the Lord. His past experiences gave birth to his present hope or assurance. Because David had seen God's faithfulness through the years, he had hope for the years to come. As we think of that, let's see, as we embark on this last verse, a verse which tells us, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But let's take it a word or a phrase at a time, and we start with the word surely. Surely. This particular word that is used here is a word which is often used introducing a certain thing, like emphasis on the truth of an expression that is to follow. Surely, no doubt, without question. And this is what we see. If you look in your concordance and look up the word surely, you'll see that this particular word used here is not often used. It's used enough throughout the Old Testament, but it's not the most used one that we translate with the word surely. But here we see it certainly fits what this word means. Used often introducing with emphasis the expression of a certain truth. Without doubt. Surely. Surely what? Goodness and mercy. F.B. Meyer referred to those two words, goodness and mercy, as, listen, guardian angels, heavenly escorts, and God-sent messengers commissioned to attend the believer during all the days of his earthly pilgrimage. He referred to them in his book on the 23rd Psalm as guardian angels. Goodness, mercy. And that God has, in a sense, using the figure, assigned them to be attentive to the child of God throughout their coming days. Philip Keller referred to this as, and I quote, "This, to me, is the supreme portrait of my shepherd. Continually there flows out to me his goodness and his mercy, which, even though I do not deserve them, come unremittently from their source of supply, which is his own great heart of love for us, the sheep." He called this sixth verse the supreme portrait of the Lord as one shepherd. The fact that goodness and mercy are going to be with that one throughout their life. Well, I'd like us to look at some references, and I wondered, are there other references that we're going to find these two things, F.B. Meyer's guardian angels, linked together with those same words? I did not find references where we find those two necessarily linked together with those same words, but certainly there are numerous references which share with us the truth that those two words convey. And I thought we might just take a look at some of these this evening. For instance, look a couple of Psalms beyond where we're at, and look at the 10th verse of Psalm 25. And it says, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." That's a good promise, isn't it? To one who will keep his word. What's God going to do in their behalf? What's God going to provide for them? All the paths that the Lord leads that one are going to be mercy and truth to the one who keeps or is in agreement to do what his word says. Let's go a few Psalms later. 31:19. 31:19 tells us this. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought or worked for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Here again, the psalmist said, goodness and mercy are going to follow me. But here in 31:19, he says, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up or set aside for everyone that is going to fear you, reverence you, worship you. This you have wrought or labored or worked to make it true for everyone that does what? Puts their trust in you before the sons of men. What does that last phrase suggest to you? Just thought of this as he has here, which you have worked out for those that trust in you before the sons of men. Does that suggest anything to you?
Bold in your witness.
Bold in your witness. You say, well, I trust in the Lord before the sons of men. Really? How many that we rub shoulders with, come in contact with, in the world, in the workplace, in our neighborhood, know that we trust in the Lord? What a challenge this verse, I think, shares with us to be faithful in our witness. God's going to shower His own with goodness, those who are going to live before the sons of men, the life of Christ. Something to think about, isn't it? Great truth. Goodness and mercy, they're going to follow me all the days of my life. Yes, and we can even add more to that, the goodness that He's going to shower upon those that trust in Him before the sons of men. They're not going to be ashamed to let others know. 36. 7, 8, 9, 10. 36, 7 through 10. How excellent is your loving kindness, O God, therefore, How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God, therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house. Thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Surely, goodness and mercy. Psalm 103:19. The Lord, it's 17, not 19. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon whom? Upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. So it's Psalm 103, 17 and 18. And here we see once again, we may not see the exact words goodness and mercy, but we see the same truths being presented elsewhere in Scripture. What God does for those that trust him, fear him, and are living in obedience to him throughout their lives. And a very familiar one, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Where's Lamentations? It's immediately following the book of Jeremiah. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. How often we hear this, where it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are what? Not consumed. Yes or no? Absolutely. Because his compassions fail not. They are what? They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So we see here the words of great assurance, the expectation, the confidence, as the psalmist starts out by saying, surely, there's no doubt about this. Let me ask you, I wonder if any of you ever struggle with the question whether or not God is going to truly meet your needs. Is he truly going to be there to help you through a difficult situation? Or is he going to bring something across your path, and when you reach out to him, you're not going to find any evidence of his presence or his enablement? Not the psalmist. Truly, without a doubt, goodness and mercy, they're going to be accompanying me. David Roper says this with regard to some of those very things. What about some of the things that we face in life? We all know not everything is pleasant, is it? We wouldn't ask for everything that comes our way. And sadly, sometimes people, they cry out, where was God when I went through it, when I needed him most? David Roper says, we may not have the good life, struggle, pain, disappointment, vexation, opposition, and loss may be our lot in life. But don't forget, we have God. And God himself is our good. And so, though it is hard to accept, we need nothing more than God's presence. Our toys and lesser joys can never satisfy. They are small delights God alone is the answer to our deepest longings. Surely, goodness, mercy, that's what I'm going to discover from you, God. Psalm 73. Psalm 73, listen to the words of the psalmist in verses 22 through 26. Psalm 73, 22 through 26. The first 21 verses of this, the psalmist was really expressing his questions that he had. Do I really have the better life? It seems to me like the unsaved, the ungodly, everything seems to go right for them. It all seems to work out for them. They always stumble on the best deals. And man, maybe I'm living this Christian life for nothing. Verse 22. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. Thou hast holden or held me by my right hand and shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. When the devil sows those seeds of doubt, and you start to wonder, like the psalmist in this 73rd Psalm, is it really worth it trying to live for the Lord? It seems like at every turn I struggle so. Remember the confidence and the assurance and what the Lord showed him in Psalm 73, 22 to 26. Things come and go. People are going to fail you big time. Anytime you put confidence in man, you are setting yourself up for a fall. But God, whom have I in heaven but you? As we move on, looking at the words of the psalmist, he says, surely, goodness and mercy, and he's speaking now in words of future tense. He has spoken words of past tense and present tense so far. But now he is giving us words of confidence with regards to the future. What do you mean? Surely goodness and mercy followed me? That'd be past tense, wouldn't it? Are following me? That's present tense. But he says, surely goodness and mercy shall what? Shall, that's future tense. Shall follow me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Looking up the word, I was interested to discover that this word follow is, again, it's not one that is always used, but it's often used, and this is what it means when you think of the word, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. What comes to your mind? the picture of your dog following you as you walk down the pathway. One of them's goodness, one of them is mercy. Yeah, they're following me. Well, that idea is certainly true with follow many times. But this word, follow, listen, it means to pursue in a good sense, to attend closely upon, to pursue. Surely, goodness and mercy shall do what? They're going to pursue me all the days of my life. And I looked up some other references where this word follow was used, and I hope we can kind of get the picture of what do we mean to pursue rather than to follow at one's heels, but to actually be, it's just right there in a good sense. Hosea 6. Good luck finding that little one. I've told you, mine constantly switch around all the time. I'm convinced of it. Those little rascals never stay in the same place. Hosea, right after Daniel. Hosea 6, 1, 2, and 3. Here we see the words of the prophet saying, come, verse 1, and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. The prophet is speaking to the nation of Israel who have turned against the Lord. And here the prophet is simply admitting, we've done wrong in the past by turning against the Lord. But he's going to fix that in our behalf. Verse 2, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Verse 3, then shall we know, notice now, if we follow on to know the Lord, if we pursue after the Lord, if we change our ways, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. And this was the truth that the psalmist had. Surely goodness and mercy, it's not just going to be out there and once in a while I'll discover that God's goodness or his mercy is kind of bumped into me. And other times it wasn't so. No, surely goodness and mercy, it's going to pursue me. It's going to follow me. And the prophet was saying, all of this, we could expect all of this of the Lord if we follow, if we pursue after the Lord, which would in that instance indicate what was going to be a necessity with regard to the children of Israel. How about a change of heart? We can't keep living like we've been living. We got ourselves in this mess, and the Lord is willing to change that. if we are willing to follow, pursue the Lord and His Word. Isaiah 51:1. Isaiah 51:1. Hearken to me, you that, here's our word, follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Here's that same word. Not just following along at the Lord's heels, but you are taking steps. I want to know what the Lord has. I want to know what His will is. I want to know how I can best please Him and serve Him. Hearken unto me, you that are consciously pursuing after the Lord. Are you? Am I? Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy 16. Another place where this word follow carries with it that meaning of pursuit. Attending closely upon, paying attention to, making sure that's what I'm doing. In Deuteronomy 16:19-20, notice, actually I want to read 18 as well. Judges and officers shalt thou make unto thee in all your gates, which the Lord thy God giveth unto thee throughout your tribes. They're going to judge the people with what? Just judgment. What is that? If it's just judgment, it's
fair,
true, right. Now, 19:20. Thou shalt not rest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons. Neither take a gift. What's another word for gift?
Bribe.
Well, our politicians today ought to be reading this, huh? For a bribe does what? It blinds the eyes of the wise, and it perverts the words of the righteous. So, Moses said, here's what you do. That which is altogether just, fair, right, honest, shalt thou, here's our word, what? Follow, pursue, make that what motivates you that are going to be appointed as judges to sit in the gates of every one of your cities. Purpose that you are going to be doing the right thing for the people, that thou mayest, that which is altogether just, shalt thou follow, that thou mayest, now notice, live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Again, maybe there are some that are saying, really, I mean, how important is this, really? Does God's goodness and mercy truly pursue after His own? Can we really trust God in every experience we might be faced with? Robert Ketchum said this, Remember, it is here. How long did the psalmist expect this? All the days of his life. Robert Ketchum says, it is all the days. You see, it's the truth of Romans 8:28, which tells us how many things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. How many? All. Do you really believe that? If we do, then why do we complain? Why do we grumble? Why do we doubt sometimes? Don't forget the word together in Romans 8:28. All things work what? Together for good. Which means what, as he goes on? Many things and many days taken by themselves and pulled out of the context of life may look as though they were characterized by anything but goodness and mercy. But when you put all the days and all the things together, and they are seen in their relationship one to the other, and the overall perspective is taken into consideration, the child of God will be compelled to confess that it was goodness and mercy all the days. All the days. And that brings us to the psalmist's final expectation here in this phrase. He expects goodness and mercy to be pursuing him all the days of his life. Which means that he saw this as something permanent, not temporary. Goodness and mercy. God's going to be blessing me with them all the days of my life. How do I know? In Hebrews 13:5, he gave us a promise. How can I know I can count on him? Hebrews 13:5. Among other things, says, I will never what? Leave you or what? Forsake you. That's how we know he has committed himself to us. What blessing we learn, what blessing we can see as we count on the Lord as our shepherd. I trust this is an encouragement and a blessing to you this evening. Let's stand and close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for again precious truth from such a familiar psalm of old. Help us see your provision for us in a new sense, in a new light tonight. We think of the commitment you have made to your own and the assurance and the confidence that it can give each and every child of yours, in the vernacular of this psalm, every sheep of yours. We thank you, Lord, for your care, your keeping, your faithfulness. Dismiss us with your blessing on us as we go. In your name I pray. Amen.